Sahana Bhavatu, Sahana Bhunaktu, Saha Viryankaravavahai, Tejasvinavadhitamastama Vidvishavahai. Shanti, shanti, shanti. Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Okay, so we are on the chapter 6. And then we have point 38. In the month of Kartik, one should make arrangements for special services.
So we just had month of Kartik.
And one could have arranged many special services for the Lord, being extra rounds or some other extra services, some vrata. But whenever we do vrata, we should make sure it's connected to the Lord, not necessarily only to us. So even say doing vrata, some like a fasting or anything like that, we do to please the Lord. So if we can do the fasting and still do our own duties, then that's good. But if we are supposed to choose if we should do our duty or the fasting, then it should be the duty, not the fasting. And so there is no need for doing some other severe austerities. As Srila Prabhupada mentioned, that we don't have to perform any other severe austerities, because for us the austerity actually is the following four godly principles. So knowing that, then that restricts us from what we are not supposed to do, and that way then we can concentrate on what we are supposed to do, and then what we are supposed to do in the chanting of the holy name. So if there is some austerity which helps us to understand this point, and to take us closer to the holy name, like that, okay, we may not eat five times a day. We may just stick to maybe only three times a day. And instead of that, use the time for chanting. Or sometimes maybe even once a day, could be okay. But the other times should be used for chanting, not for sleeping, because we are so tired from not eating. Then that will be useless. Yes. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Then, during Janmashtami, one should observe a special service. So similar like during Kartik, we can offer the lamb. We can do during Janmashtami. We can specifically go and decide to render service to the Lord, maybe some dressing or help with preparing for the festival, cooking. Many of the Matajis are involved in the kitchen cooking. Not the Matajis, also the Prabhus, or they cook at home and then bring it for the offering, or some collecting water for the Abhishek or flowers for the Abhishek. So many opportunities are there if we really get into it. If not, then we won't find any opportunity. But even if we don't have any, say we may be on Janmashtami somewhere else, and maybe not in the temple or with devotees, then we can always concentrate on our japa. Just if there is nothing else we can do, then at least chant. That's also great service for the Lord. We can do it for His pleasure.
And
And 40, one should do whatever is done with great care and devotion for the deity.
This is the mood. So, what we do, we should do it for the other, for the deity, for Krishna, not for ourselves. So, whatever it is, it can be anything, but if we do it with the devotion for the Lord, it will be successful.
And 41, one should relish the pleasure of Bhagavatam reading among devotees and not among outsiders.
So, we already discussed that bit previously, that it's not to show how much emotions we can, you know, give or what we know, just to prove. It's actually trying to understand the sweetness of Krishna, trying to understand our own position, and that we can understand only if we discuss the topics of Krishna among the devotees. So that should be the preference of the devotee. Devotee should discuss the depth of the relationships among devotees. When we preach to somebody, some non-devotee, then we can discuss, we can mention, but we will not be, you know, very deep into the relationship. Similar like we don't preach the glories of the holy name to a non-devotee, but we preach about the holy name. But there's a difference. Yes?
Can you distinguish? I mean, or...
Okay.
Yes, obviously.
Yeah. See, the point is that we may tell the people, just chant the holy name, and no, you will be happy. You, no, your life will improve. You will be now better in whatever you are doing. And you are right. You are not not saying which is not true. But the person may not be necessarily ready to hear about the intimate pastimes of Radha and Krishna. If you do, then he may get lusty desires.
Yeah, yeah.
If you explain the power of the holy name, the one chanting of the holy name can, you know, the whole universe can be liberated. Are you crazy? This is nonsense. I won't even try. So then instead of doing a service, you will do disservice to him. So you have to be very sensitive to how you preach. Yeah, so similar, no, in here. We have to be very careful, no, how we relish the pastimes. And we should prefer the association of devotees. Yes?
On the same topic of the question,
mm-hmm.
is it too much to tell them that Krishna is not different from his name? Because it is actually a real thing that might inspire somebody to take up the chanting, because we can tell them, you know, that you will associate with the Lord. Is that too much?
Well, you see, you will have to judge according to the person. If the person is open-minded and very much into what you are saying, then you can explain, you know, various things. And in fact, in one conversation, for some person who is very much into, and he may get so much moved that he may be ready, you know, in just you know, after a few moments, to hear the glories of the holy name. But if he's like a, you know, staunch materialist, so then the discussion may be just very shallow discussion. And when you mention that Krishna and his name are non-different, how is that possible? Now everybody is different, no? And then if you don't have contra-argument, if you cannot defeat him, so then he will just... No, feel, see, the atheism, no, prove that there is no God. But if you would not give him the chance to have that feeling, maybe he will think about it at least somewhat. So, be, you know, sensitive to how you preach, whom do you preach, But the point is that you have to be very alert. You are not trying to be politically correct. You are just seeing what his level of understanding is, and you are preaching on that level. So as he understands, you can tell him more. No, so being sensitive, being very, but you have to be alert. You cannot be open, really. But among devotees, you already know that you can mention any topic, and then being open, then so many nice points, nice thoughts and ideas, how that connects to us, how that improves relationship between us and Krishna, comes. So therefore, one should prefer not discussing the Krishna Katha among devotees, because with non-devotees, it just brings the point of that there will be argument. So if we have the taste for argument, then we may prefer to discuss that and not to show and to prove. But this is just ordinary gyan. It's nothing more than that. When the big Digvijay comes to Vrindavan, and then he goes to Rupa and Sanatan, and then, yes, I come to challenge you, and we will debate in Sanskrit, and they didn't have time. They didn't want to debate anything. So, okay, give us the paper. We will sign that we lost. Okay, here is sign. Just go. No wasting time. Why should they? Because they know that he will not want to point out what does this mean. That can be also interpreted this way. So many ways. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, when he writes Harinam Chintamani, he mentions in the beginning, this is for devotees. I didn't write it for non-devotees. I don't want non-devotees to read. I don't want to discuss. I don't want to debate. I don't want have stupid arguments to hear and to answer. No, this is for devotees. So please, if you are not a devotee, don't read it. Simple as that. And it's not that he's afraid. He just doesn't want. It's a pointless discussion. So if we preach, we are trying to give that person as much as we can. But if that's not possible, then just end up giving prasad. And then anyway, when you have the time, just chant sometimes Hare Krishna. Because after the Digvijay left, then Jiva Goswami, he met him and said, "What? You defeated Rupa Sanatana? No, it's not possible. No, for us to defeat me." And then he debated, and then, of course, he got completely crashed. So, and then Jiva Goswami then thought that, yes, now he has defeated the Digvijay, because he cannot defeat his gurus. It's not possible. So he tried to do it. He did do it as a service to their gurus, but they didn't appreciate. Why did you waste the time? What is this nonsense? Okay, get out. And they chased him away. So he was for some time not being able to be in their association just because of that. So he had a good intention. But why do we waste time? So our intention should be that whatever we do, we will do for our developing relationship. And that's among the devotees. Now, using our realization and then giving the association to the potential devotees, then we do. But we can't be completely open. We cannot discuss everything, because it will not be for their benefit. So therefore the preference is devotees. Yes?
In the beginning of the process of devotion, sometimes we do get into lots of arguments because we ourselves are not very secure of what we
are. Yes, yes. So see, arguments means doubts, right? There is a doubt. So that's healthy. We have doubt, so we should ask. The only thing is that once we ask and we get proper answer, which is supported Guru Sadhu Shastra, the answer is no bona fide, then we should follow. We have to be also very, very conscious of when we ask question, we get bona fide answer, we are responsible to not to consider it, to follow. If we ask just for the sake of asking, and then do whatever we want to do, then we will not get very far. So we ask our guru, now what should we do? And he gives us answer, oh, I don't want to do that, I want to do something else. That's not good. So we have doubts. Doubts means that we are not sure about ourselves, about something else, about somebody else. So that's why we ask, and that's good. And sometimes we don't argue because we are attached to our point of view. But if somebody convinces us, somebody gives us the right answer, so then since we asked, now we are not really in ignorance anymore. We know what's the right thing. So then why wouldn't we follow it? Then there is something else. Okay, I know it's good, no, but I can't. I cannot. Why you cannot? It comes down to, I don't want to.
In the case of Arjun, Arjun also had the same process, right?
Yes, he had many doubts.
Krishna, yeah.
But Krishna explained, and at the end of Gita, what does Arjuna do?
He fights.
Yes, with full understanding and full surrender. So it may take for somebody longer than a Gita, but it's all about understanding. So now if we have doubts, and then no, even though the doubts are clear, then but we still no, it cannot be like this. No, I don't believe you. No. Why not? I mean, it's supported by Guru Sadhu Shastra, and I explained, and then no, I don't believe you. So it's not doubt anymore. That's a misgiving. No. That cannot be. My mother was saying different. No. So, he doesn't want to hear the answer. He just challenges, he wants to prove that he knows better than you. And even if you prove him wrong, still he is not wrong. So he will follow whatever he wants, and that's not the system. So, pariprata pariprashna sevaya. So only when we render the service, then we understand how to ask a question. Then we actually understand we should ask a question. But the service in the humble mood then makes us understanding how we should approach the mood, and therefore we get to know how we should understand, how we should follow the answer. If we have our own position and everything, so we don't want to lose it. There is no, we are not really humble. If the mood is not such, the mood is not the surrender, so it's just, who are you? No? Okay, what do you know about this? Oh, okay, it can be like this, but no, it can also be like this. No, I know better. That person doesn't want to know. So yeah, in the beginning we have doubts. Doubts are good. But then when doubt is clear, then we should accept it as such. The doubt should disappear. And if not, have more questions. Inquire submissively. And until it's clear. But once it's clear, then we should follow.
Okay, my next question would be, will ever there be a moment where it will be that clear? Because I mean, I've been asking questions and trying to follow.
Mm-hmm. See, we have to, okay, we get answer. We ask general question, we get general answer. And then we may see, oh, that applies to everybody else, but not me. Right, so we may, oh, yeah, that's good. But But still, we will not follow because it's for everybody else but me. And if we want to know exact what it's for us, then we should ask a specific question. But sometimes it may be painful to bring up specific because it's about us. So everybody will know my problems, and they are all different from anybody else's. Afraid I disclose and somebody may misuse it and then attack me or use it against me. It's the fear. But actually, all the problems are very common. So I don't know specifically how to deal with this problem. So specifically for that, I should ask how to apply. Because I know principle, but I don't see the application of the principle in my detail. And therefore, I cannot connect this detail to Krishna. And unless I'm going to do that, I won't be able to realize Krishna. So I should endeavor to find out how to connect this detail to the Lord. So can you help me? Can you answer my question, how to connect this detail to the principle? If he understands principle but doesn't understand how to connect detail, then he will probably not help much. He may help something, somewhat. But it's up to you to search and search to find your answer. But once you find the answer, then you apply it. So there is going to be time when you will be able to see the applications of all the details in the principle. And that's practice. So this is the devotional service in practice. So that's sadhana bhakti. Yeah? Yes, Mataji. You see, first of all, we have to understand, if we are not individually understanding it ourselves, so it's because of anarthas. There means there is some desire, some attachment to something which opposes the understanding. We are supposed to be understanding, realize that we are the servants of the Lord. But that means that I am under his control and I am not in control of anything. That's very painful. So that will be the ultimate to be able to fully surrender, to be understanding that we are just the servants, nobody else. We are nobody. But if we identify ourselves as a servant of the Lord, we become somebody. So the anarthas are the ones which are getting us from the understanding, from the realization of that answer. The answer is general. The answer is for everybody. Somebody takes, oh yes, now I understood. For many years I didn't understand that, but now immediately the anartha which somebody else may have is not there. So he sees the application. The other person, no, I cannot do that. No, that's not possible. No, I don't understand how am I going to apply it for myself? I cannot understand. No. Because the anartha is there that he cannot get it. It's like somebody who didn't walk, for the whole life. He everywhere goes by car. Then you ask him, okay, so let's walk to Jagannath Mandir. Okay, so let's go. Yeah, my car is there. So then, no, let's walk. What? Walk? 3 kilometers? Are you crazy? How can I ever do that? I never did. How can I ever walk not this much? It's 3,000 meters.
Do you realize?
Yeah, he cannot comprehend in his mind how it can be even thought about. For somebody who walks 10 kilometers a day, just what are we talking? We go up, down, and still we can go somewhere else. Why not? So it's how we use our values, what it is. Yeah? Yes. Yeah, but that's why in the beginning it's important to see that we have some possibility of actually accepting the instruction from our spiritual master, because accepting the instruction, the following, this is the base of success in our devotional service. So if we just sentimentally, this guru has most disciples, then I also become his disciple. And then after some time we say, his instruction I don't like. No, I like to do something else. Then we fall down. Rather than just, this guru, he touches my heart. His instructions are what I like to follow. This is my nature. So then, easy to follow his instructions, then easy to get purified. So then there is a relationship. Based on that relationship, then based on the vapu relationship, then the vani relationship becomes. But then we start to understand the instructions only when we surrender. So and then he may give us later on instructions which he wouldn't give us in the beginning, because he knew that we wouldn't be able to take it. But then as we become purified, then we understand, or we are not at all, we have no problem at all to accept those and follow them. But that's progress. That's the progression. Now, being able to follow, so it's guru and sadhu. So we ask guru for the principles, and we have close relationship with guru, so then we can ask all sort of questions. But guru as a spiritual master, he is not really obliged to discuss all kind of little things what the disciple wants to know. If there is a relationship, he can, but it's by his mercy. This is not his duty. His duty is to instruct you in your spiritual life what you should do. So in fact, his duty is to instruct you to chant the holy name, follow four regulative principles, and to tell you how you go about it. But when we come and, I feel lusty, I want this, or I would like to eat this sweet, and I don't care if it's boga or not. He may, but it's not his duty as such. So therefore, we should have the relationship among the devotees based on Dharati Pratigrihati Guhyam Akhyati Prichati. So, we have friends. This is where friendship is so important. Because our friend cares for us and we can open his mind to him. And then he can reveal what's our problem. And because he is friend, we don't mind to open the mind fully and take from him, even if he says that, you are stupid. You don't do it like this. Because when he says that, then we have the feeling that actually he's doing it for our benefit, because we know he's our well-wisher. So then he is so intimate, he says it in such a way that it touches us, and then we understand, yes, I'm wrong in this. I have to stop that. So, and then we can follow that. So that's sadhu. So then, no, we can ask, no, our friends, all the details, no, how do we apply our personal details, no, in the principle of devotional service. So among the guru and sadhu, then we connect, you know, these things, and we understand the whole process. Because both the guru and the sadhu, they follow the shastra. So that's why it's a triangle. Sorry? If we don't have this?
Yeah, if we
will
be able to
well, you
see.
Yeah, but that can be very quickly overcome. It's we are attached to our material nature, we are attached to the position or to circumstance or whatever it may be. So as long as we are attached, we won't be able to give it up. It's really that the holy name is so powerful, can liberate the whole universe. But if somebody doesn't want to be liberated, it's not possible. Even Nityananda Prabhu, no, he would go and beg, please chant the holy name. Sometimes they throw him out of the house. It was free, it was given. No, you could have actually, no, see Nityananda Prabhu, you could have embraced Nityananda Prabhu, you could have associated, but you choose to throw him out of the house. So he could do nothing, and he is Balaram. So that's our position. That's what we are doing. So as soon as we understand, we have the chance. Srila Prabhupada, he comes and he has given us this chance. So it's just enough to, even we don't have to really take it. Just don't oppose it. Just, okay, be at least curious, a little bit. Oh, let's see. Then it will work. The fish eating the crumbles, no, just wasn't opposing, didn't have any attachments, just followed the nature. So that was the natural thing for the fish to do. So let it do it this way. So get rid of the attachments, and then, okay, let's see how it will work out for us. Then we can get the proper understanding. But if we have our own understanding, oh yeah, no, he's saying like this, but that one says something else, and that one says something else, I'll take from each something, whatever it suits me, and then you end up, who knows what. There are so many, no, bogus principles, no, being followed by gurus who are so successful because those people don't have to basically follow any rules and regulations, just enjoy, and then you achieve nirvana or, no, whatever it may be. You won't. So, our guru gives us the rules and regulations and explain how to follow them. That's his duty, and our duty is to now to see how do we apply our own conditioned nature to get to it, to understand and to follow. That way then we become successful. Yes.
In the beginning, I mean, there were many very sincere devotees who embraced the process very fiercely and in every
yes.
second of their life. But as time passed, either they didn't follow to them specifically or they got some misgiving later on. They drew. And I found that the velocity with the tour was not corresponding turn of velocity.
Yeah.
And so taking her point, this point of time, the time that you understand the question and that you actually do it. If you don't have a very big bank account of actually paying for that realization, you know, I mean, if you feel that you can take it, but not really.
Srila Prabhupada, no, he inspired immediately everybody, and they were so inspired. Even without having so much of knowledge, they would go out, and with their enthusiasm, they could, devotees immediately convince others, the chanting of the Holy Name, this is it. There's nothing better than that. And they did not know much, maybe, at that time, but just they were so convinced, so enthusiastic, that they convinced others. Then okay, then no, and after Srila Prabhupada left, before he left, towards when it was closer to his departure, then what did Srila Prabhupada stressed on very much?
Operation.
Education. And then he specifically said what should be done. Bhagavad Gita, Bhakti Shastri. Then Bhakti Vaibhav. Bhakti Sarabhauma, and just it's, he specifically said what should be done, how it should be done. How long did it take for something like to manifest?
Long time. Why?
Who, I mean, how many devotees do actually understand importance of education? And how do they define education?
Basically techniques of blocks of knowledge which you take.
Reading the books.
Yeah. Or reading the books.
Is there very much given to the point of realization? To bringing the point, applying the knowledge in your personal life and to actually see it, how the book applies to you? Because even among devotees, you hear that Bhagavatam is all that applied now to somebody 5,000 years ago, now doesn't apply, now it's something else. But that's wrong. We have to understand that education can be taken from anywhere if properly applied. Bhagavatam is the most, it's the ripened fruit of the Vedic literature. It's written by the same person who wrote the Vedas. After he wrote the Vedas, he writes Bhagavatam as the essence of everything. And we choose to say that that's not good enough for us. And then we say, yes, okay, it's nice talks, and everything, oh, it's nice stories, But where is the point that we should actually follow that? When Prahlad Maharaj describes the process of devotional service, we see the process of devotional service by Bharat Maharaj, Ambarish Maharaj, Prithu Maharaj. In every situation, as a brahmachari, as a grihastha, as a vanaprastha, as a sannyasi, every situation, no possible situation in your life, whatever it can be, you have there what you are supposed to do. And then on top of that, then the subtle aspects of that devotional service, then you have described in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Everything is there, about cooking, about eating. There is nothing which is omitted. How is it that it doesn't apply to us? And how is it that we are the one who can say that, it's too old, or we don't have to follow, or no? So, education, it's not being given, or at least was not being given, the right place. But without education, you won't get. The education must be that you educate the people how to apply what they have learned. Not just let them memorize a few pages, a few verses, and then be happy that you know it. And you get certificate, and then you forget. That's not it. Okay, you memorize the verses, and then how the verse applies to you. So the principles of behind. That's what education about. So then, if you see that the Bhagavatam, the verses of Bhagavatam, applies to your personal life, to your most intimate life, then you know that the Bhagavatam talks sense. Then you follow it. And you see that, okay, it helped me to understand this point, so I'm sure even this point I can find it. Maybe I'm not looking the right way, maybe I don't know. But I can ask somebody who can help me to understand this point, how to connect it to Bhagavatam. And then once we understand that, then we can see that every aspect of life we can connect to Bhagavatam. Then we will not be talking about we are not inspired, or it doesn't make sense, or no. We are trying to apply what we learn. And we get the realization. With the realization, we get more enthusiasm to follow further. If somebody explains to you something and then you see it works, you will be very happy to come back to the same person and ask him again, how can I apply this principle in this detail? But we have to be also very careful using our intelligence. We have to discriminate. If somebody is good in cooking, then we go and ask him about cooking. And okay, now how do we apply this to make good pasta? How do we apply this to make good rice? How do we apply this to make good sabji? So he knows, he is expert, he can help us in this. But then we should not go, oh, he is good in that, oh, he is a good person, oh, maybe he can help me in philosophy also. Then maybe you will be surprised, but you will hear some bogus. And then you say, oh, he is not good. That's the Western philosophy. That's the Western mentality that, oh, if he does one thing wrong, everything is wrong. Just, kick him out. That's our fault. Now, before his departure, Srila Prabhupada said, for certain things, you can go to certain devotees, but only go for that. Don't ask anything else. Did we do that? No. So we have to discriminate. Yes, we have to use our intelligence. Then we can properly know, be conscious and know how to apply. When we apply, we get realization. Once we get realization, then we can say we are educated. That's the top of the education. Now, applying the realization, then we can teach others based on the realization. So the process continues. It doesn't stop. But if we don't educate ourselves, then where do we end up? We have some enthusiasm. We have some realization. But that's not going to get better. It's going to go slowly, slowly fade away. So after sometimes months, years, maybe tens of years, and I just waste my life. I have no realization. No, I don't feel anything while chanting the holy name. I don't feel, the devotees are so nasty. No, the place is so bad. No, I'm living here like a beggar. No, it's so dirty. That's what we see. Krishna will take care. So we will move somewhere else. And who knows? Become meat eaters.
Some have become meat
eaters. So, but why? That's because we are not educating ourselves. So when Srila Prabhupada comes to America, immediately he starts educating. So that's what a leader must do. Leader must see that education goes on. Education, everything starts with education.
You have education, you mean on the Vedic principles.
Of course, yeah. Plan. Yeah. Pariparta Pariprasna Sevaya. So, the education, now you must be inquisitive, you ask, you get the answer, you apply the answer in your situation. You don't know how to apply it, ask again, ask more, ask somebody else. No, and then just keep looking, you will find it. Apply it, you realize it, great. Now you realize, now you can teach to others, you can explain to others. Now, I really don't know, how can I survive. No, I tried many things, and then I could not, I did this job, that job, that didn't work. Then I figured out, actually I know cooking. Maybe I can teach people cooking and do some courses. Oh, it's excellent. So many people come here and then, they learn from me and then, it's wonderful. It works. So it's a realization. So then from that, he can just share it with others and then, he will be successful. But it's because he keeps searching. And he doesn't give up. Because what it is that, I don't know, nobody cares, nobody gives, I have nothing, I cannot do anything. Lamenting, that's not even Shudra. Even Shudra does his duties. All this, the Tamaguna, what is this? That's a nonsense. Yeah. Yes.
Sometimes it seems that some people can become traumatized by past experiences and kind of end up in this endless loop, as just as you were saying, that I can't do anything, it's hopeless. How to deal with that?
Well,
you say it's not even Sudra, but I mean, I'm sure if the people could, by own endeavor, or somehow get out of that.
Then first give him prasad. And, see, you have to find out, what is the cause. But generally, you will find that the cause is that actually that person doesn't really know what affection is. He probably didn't get much affection, not much attention. So, children, they're like a sponge. You can give them as much of affection as you want and attention, and they just keep absorbing and just disappears in. And then you may even think it's just, where did it go? No, look at this guy. He's not like a punk. I gave him so much of love and care, and then, he's like this. Well, yeah, that's the puberty. But then after that, then you see how affectionate it will be. If you are giving affection, it will come out at the right time. But if you don't give, then you are doomed, because you are going to be alone. He won't care for you. He will disappear, and then he wouldn't want to hear about you. Now, there was one incident in America, in the jail, there was one convict of murder, and he was on the death row. And then his last wish was that he would like to speak with his mother. And then some mother comes, this, that, talking. She is crying, and then he is this, that. And then he said, I would like to whisper something, to you. So she just give the ear, yes, what? And then as it comes, and he bits off her ear. why did you do this? No, what is this? No, I'm your mother and this. That's why. You never cared for me. No, when I did something wrong, you never chastised me. You're a bad mother. And because of you, now I am in this trouble. So, what was the feeling of the mother at that moment?
Pain.
I think more than the pain.
Guilt.
Yes. But it was too late. And that's what, she is actually, she put herself into that position. So now, having a child, we are responsible for the child, and not just physically to feed him or give him some toys to play or give computer and internet and then just don't bother me and I will not bother you. No, it's not their business. He's a child, so we have to give him attention, affection. Only if we are ready for that, then we should not think of having a child. And then, based on that, then it will come back as the child will be affectionate and gives attention to us when we need and to others when they need. But if we don't do that, then we will just bring up like a social freak who doesn't know how to deal with anybody or anything except the computer. And that only, there's a button, you can always switch it off. No. These are his dealings. So, that we have to be very careful of.
So, summarizing, one thing which I was thinking that when you're presenting the mental devotion, the underlying principles until now that we should be always searching according to what people read, such and such as the, so that will be the mood of the disciples, how he can.
Yeah, the mood is, you have the principles and you want to achieve, always remember Krishna. That's if any one of us can do, it's 100% success. Now, if we cannot do that, but always remember, okay, so sometimes remember, but whenever you don't remember, at least don't forget. Now, that's nice to say, but how does it apply to us? Okay, that's good, now we are sitting here talking and then listening, yes, I understand everything. As soon as I step behind the bridge, now I don't know what to do. How does it apply, to me? The walking back to my place, or that somebody comes and bumps into me with the bike, and then what am I supposed to do? Should I shout at him, beat him up, or say, I'm sorry that I was standing in your way, Prabhu? No, what should I do? How does it apply to me in every situation? Or I go and get bitten by wasp, so then why not Krishna, why did he do this to me? No? Or I get sick, so why did I get sick? I didn't do anything wrong. How does it apply to me? So that's nectar devotion. Nectar devotion explains how we should see the situation, how does it apply to us? So every situation we can apply in Krishna consciousness such a way so then every detail it's properly given. So that's the goal.
It's working on the culture, right? On how we act, how we behave.
Yeah. So, and each and every may have different difficulties because each and every of us has different anarthas. But we are trying to point out the same point. We are basically talking again and again from different angles, so everybody understands that. Somebody may understand that angle, but somebody else when we talk some different angle. But the point is that we want to make it as transparent as possible that everybody does understand. That's that method of teaching. Because the teacher also has to be expert in finding these different angles and patient enough to go through all these angles. Because sometimes the teacher may say, well, I told you. No, there was... it's from one very old movie. There was it was grandfather and son. And the son means like, no, grandfather and then grandson, right? Yes. So, the grandson was very good, was like artist. And he used to walk on a rope. So, and he was very good at it. But the grandfather, he didn't like it. He said, don't do this. No, you may fall down. You know, it will be painful. Don't do this. Don't do it. But then he would walk and then once it happened that grandfather again was there seeing how he's walking. So he was on the rope walking through. And then grandfather started shaking there. Then don't come down. You will fall down. Then he fall down. See, I told you. So, like that. Yes?
So, I have a question on the summary essay for the chapters 1 to 5.
Mm-hmm.
Is it supposed to be 300 words maximum as well?
Yeah, if you could, then do it. And if you want to make it a little bit longer, you can also.
Because I know for the Gita, the summary essays for the first six chapters, they're supposed to be longer.
Yeah, make it longer. If you get all the points across, then if it's 300, I won't complain.
Because that seems to be the point that there are quite a few principles and their applications to be made. So should we state all the principles and their applications, or should we take some, state all the principles?
Well, you see, there are not that many principles. So, You can take it from level you understand it and then how you apply it. I would rather be happy if you just take the main principles and the other the principles which are below these and the details how you would apply it if you can show your understanding of the application. And if you can show it in your personal or your life, whatever it practically how you can apply it, then I would consider it very good. Not just theory. See, this class is not much about the theory of the knowledge. It's there, but we are trying to make it more practical.
It's a bit there, sir.
Well, yeah, the application of it. So then, how would you, even though when you go out, still remember what we discussed and then apply it in your life? So then, when you write the essay, then try to write it the way actually how you see it. Be very open-minded and apply it. How would you apply it in your life? What do you see? The application of principle. If I see that, then I would consider it as more successful than if you list everything what we until now went through.
Can we include points from the introduction?
Yeah, you can. Yes. But it's all about the application. That's what...
The other day we were mentioning about the Chada and Chanamrit, and you mentioned in the Chada.
Yeah.
So in respect of... So Krishna is very pedagogical always. And I was in Chanamrit line just observing. There are two people. The first one, the Chanamrit kind of but all over me, and it's got all over the place. Very clumsy. And there's another one. Prabhu came, he just put his children on, and he looked so beautiful, you know, like so special. So I could realize what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started doing it, and it made a lot of sense. So,
yeah.
Nice. Simple thing. If you don't know, you don't realize it.
Yes, exactly. So the education is there, now when we apply it, we get this realization. Yeah, very good. So even points like that, see, it's an essay. You can mention, you know, even like a small little detail, which you realize in the essay, you get the application of the detail, how you connect it to the principle, it's success. Now, rather than just, you know, talking pages of theory, and not having the application put in, rather just even few points like this, know what it is, and you yourself will actually now see that that's how the application works. Yes?
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama.